Ooh, that's a big boom. That's a big nasty boom. Yep, that just happened. Believe it or not, that actually happened over here in the United States of America in Baltimore. Can't believe that crap. That actually just went off over by the Key Bridge, believe it or not, here in the great United States of America. And all that happened right as Zelensky was leaving the freaking White House and taking off to go away, and all of that following the summit of a buttload of leaders from the EU. So much stuff to talk about that we're going to have to go over today, ladies and gentlemen. It's absolutely nuts. So I can't believe that that actually just happened. Looked it up, tried to find some more information on it. And right now, not a lot of intel has actually came out on this explosion. But what they are saying about it is that this, the ship explosion in Baltimore's harbor near Key Bridge, site prompts U.S. Coast Guard response. That's it. It was a merchant vessel that was filled with coal. It was a 751-foot bulk carrier with 23 people on board. Coast Guard ended up responding, going over there, and allegedly the ship ended up being towed back into harbor, but also was like operating under its own power. It's still afloat. It's not like sunk. It's just, it's insane to me that this actually happened, and it happened so recently. Obviously, we had the shipwreck and everything else last year, and it kind of makes me wonder whether or not that is Russia sending a message, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see on that one. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, good evening, good evening. What happened, Matt? Why Trump love Putin? I don't even think that's English in the comment section, so if you're going to talk trash, please do it in the current language that I am speaking. Happens all the time. Ships of coal explode all that. This happens all of the time. This happens all of the time. Ships filled with coal are exploding. Please send me these videos because I need more content like that. And I also want to look into why we have so many ships of coal exploding. If you guys think that's actually happening all of the time, it's freaking insane. No, earlier today there was also a bomb threat over in Times Square, New York. Ended up shutting everything down. I didn't actually even bother. Ended up saying, "What's that? How's my ribs, Jasmine? My ribs hurt. They hurt real bad. But I can still breathe. I can still talk, and I can do everything over the White House." Obviously, we ended up having Zelensky arrive today, and believe it or not, the man even wore a freaking suit. This video I got coming up for you guys shows everybody walking out to greet Mr. Zelensky. I don't understand why every single time I have to go live, there ends up being a flipping issue, but apparently we've got another one today. So we're going to solve that problem. We're looking at the split here, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about it. And it's just always audio issues on my end, but I got to make sure that's resolved before we get to the next portion of the show, because it is what it is. Hope you guys had a good day. I know a lot of you guys probably ended up watching big portions of the summit. I know I ended up getting lots of text messages and everything else like, bro, you got to watch. You got to see what's actually going on. I'm like, yes, I understand. And I am. Trust me. It was disgusting. Like, some of the stuff's very interesting, you know, and if you're going to ask, like, what was going on today, and I guess, what is going to come out of this? There we go. Now I can hear what's going to come out of it. In my opinion, not much. You know, somebody asked, I was on a panel earlier today, what has kind of changed after all of these meetings? And I'm going to be honest. The only thing that really looks like has changed is that the United States, along with all of these other leaders from Europe, had basically said that we're going to give some security guarantees to Zelensky, which is a good thing. When it goes down to territorial change, I got a couple different clips coming up that I want to play for you. Some of them ended up coming from the media. Some of them ended up coming from other people. But the first one on territory change, I'm actually going to bring up Zelensky. And what Zelensky actually said is that territory is going to be left up, like the division of the territory is going to be left up between him and Vladimir Putin in the future.
Ми були, були різні моменти, але це важлива інформація. І тому питання території це питання, яке ми залишимо між мною і Путіним.
Суспільне питання.
And I love how the man just says it so matter of fact, like, oh, the territory that's gonna be left up between me and Putin. So don't you worry about the territory. Putin and I, we're gonna have that conversation. You don't have to worry about it. And I don't think he was lying about that either. I think they're going to have that discussion. Putin, on the other hand, came out and actually said that the relations with the United States and Russia were improving.
But overall, thanks to President Donald Trump, relations between Russia and the United States are starting finally to get better in some respects. Of course, we still have issues diplomatically, but the first steps are there. We're moving forward. We have contacts between our major agencies, between the State Department and our foreign ministry, between our special services, which is really important, you know, because it's really critical to be able to fight terrorism, whatever the situation is, whatever the environment is. And in other agencies, too, we have very good prospects in terms of economic development, economic partnership. I know that American businesses are really willing to, they are sending signals that they would like to go back to our market. And we will welcome that, but that requires dialogue. But overall, like I said, that meeting is quite possible, and we are certainly...
Well, thank you very much for that, Vlad. So there you go. Improvements between Russia and the United States and our relationships. Why did that happen? Very good question. Don Reed coming in. Give down five Speak the Truth memberships. Thank you, thank you, thank you. John says, I love this channel. It is the best on YouTube, hands down. Keep up the good work, Matt. Nanner Gang. Dude, the OG Nanner Gangs that are in the house, I mean, you guys, I mean, if you've been around long enough to be in the OG Nanner Gang, that's impressive. If you go all the way back to the first days of Ukrainian war, that's even more impressive. And if you go all the way back to the days when Rob and I would do like little like hit piece videos and stuff like that, analyzing, I don't want to say this, like cringe content, like welcome back. You guys are the OG OGs. Anyways, all right, so here we have Trump. And I saw somebody had made the comment about Zelensky's suit. Well, believe me, it didn't go unnoticed.
First of all, Mr. President Zelensky, you look fabulous in that suit.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, look, you look good.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, looks good.
I said someone that attacked you last time. See, that was I remember that.
Yeah, I apologize to you. Look, you look wonderful. No, my first question for you, President Zelensky.
In the same suit. You see, I changed you.
Maybe yours is much better.
I'm not going to lie. That was a good freaking stab. Like, that was a good joke. If, like, that showed, and this within itself looks like this was the tone that the entire, I don't want to say that the entire meeting was kind of like flowed with. There was two meetings today. You had this one right here that took place in front of the press with basically just Trump and with Trump and Zelensky. And then they ended up having the bigger summit about 2 hours later. Did I just see Zohar says, I love you, Matt? Aw, thank you, Zohar. I appreciate that. Yeah, the suit's very, very important. Somebody I saw was like trashing on like the shoes he was wearing, trying to say that he got like 3-inch heels. None of that crap matters, and it takes away like the severity of the situation and everything that's actually happening between the countries. And there wasn't really a lot, to be perfectly honest with you guys, that actually came out of the first meeting. There was one big statement that ended up getting put out by Trump, which you guys are going to hear just in a minute. And it had to do with U.S. troops being on the ground inside of Ukraine, believe it or not. I do want to address, because there was some people that were very upset. I'm wearing pants, James. James, I'm wearing pants today. I've got them on, man. I've got shorts on, James. I'm wearing shorts, but I'm wearing them. And I told you the standard. And the last time I said the standard and somebody checked me, they checked me appropriately. And it didn't turn out very good for me. But anyways... Yeah, let's talk about Trump's response. He actually got asked about Putin showing up over into Alaska and touching base in the United States.
But it's very sad when you do the right thing. As an example, they said, because of the fact that Vladimir Putin came to American soil, this was a tremendous defeat for Donald Trump. No, it was really wonderful that he did it. It was a hard thing for him to do, to be honest with you. It was the opposite of what they said, but they said it. Now, if he didn't come, they'd say that was also bad for Trump. You know, there's no way. And there's just a great dishonesty of the press, and I think that's why it's lost its credibility. You know, its credibility is at an all-time low. We have a thing going on right now in D.C. We went from the most unsafe place anywhere to a place that now people, friends are calling me up, Democrats are calling me up, and they're saying, sir, I want to thank you. My wife and I went out to dinner last night for the first time in 4 years, and Washington, D.C. is safe. And you did that in 4 days. I'll tell you, it's safe. I had another friend of mine. He has a son who's a great golfer. He's on tour. And he came in fourth yesterday in the big tournament where Scottie Scheffler made the great shot. And he said his son is going to dinner in Washington, D.C. tonight. I said, would you have allowed that to happen a year ago? He said, no way. No way. He said, what you've done is incredible. And I think the people realize it. But the press says, he's a dictator. He's trying to take over. No, all I want is security for our people. But people that haven't gone out to dinner in Washington, D.C. in 2 years are going out to dinner. And the restaurant.
That's great. Washington, D.C. is safe because of everybody that ended up coming in. So, yeah, the National Guard troops and everything roaming around down there. I hope you guys enjoyed your pants check. I ended up sneaking in on you when you didn't think it was going to happen. Turns out I am wearing pants, so next time you guys question me for wearing pants, just know that I definitely am, right? Like, I don't lie about wearing pants. Who would do such a thing? Who would do such a thing? So, yeah. I'm going to point this out in the comments section because I feel like I've addressed this about 1,000 times over the last couple of years. It was do free. You all talk, but United States has responsibilities towards Ukraine to protect their sovereignty. Do free. The Budapest Memorandum is, I believe, 6 paragraphs in total. I suggest you go read it. The United States and all the other signatories agreed to respect the sovereignty of Ukraine, their borders, their election system, and so on and so forth. If, for some reason, another country chose hostilities to invade Ukraine to violate election integrity and things of that nature, we agreed that we would confer. That's what we agreed to. There was no duty to protect Ukraine written inside of that memorandum. And it amazes me that this war has been going on for so long, and yet you have failed to go over and read like these 6 basic paragraphs. And if you could point out to me anything in writing, anywhere, that it says the United States of America has a duty and responsibility to protect Ukraine, I'd appreciate it if you'd show me. I really would, because I haven't seen it yet. It just doesn't exist, man. And this channel is called Speak the Truth, not Speak Propaganda. And the United States of America never signed their name to a dotted line anywhere that said, we will defend Ukraine. It doesn't exist. I don't care if Clinton came out and tried to claim otherwise, just like I don't care if every Russian on the planet says that NATO shouldn't be expanding 1 inch to the east. Gorbachev himself came out and said that was a lie. You can look at what's written in black and white, and what's written in black and white is exactly what I stated. And that might bother you, but it is a fact. And if facts hurt your feelings, this probably isn't the channel for you, my friend. I apologize. BC Skyman coming in, gifting out 20, and just says, number one. And it's right. It's exactly what we do. All right.
What security guarantees do you need from President Trump to be able to make a deal? Is it American troops, intelligence, equipment? What is it?
Everything. And includes two parts. First, strong Ukrainian army. That's what I began to discuss with your colleagues. And it's a lot about weapon and people and training missions and intelligence. And second, we will discuss with our partners. It depends on the big countries, on the United States, on a lot of our friends.
Well, do free. If facts don't hurt your feelings, then why would you state something that is actually false? Where does the United States, instead of responding to that comment where I said if facts hurt your feelings, why don't you tag me with a link to something that shows me and everybody else listening that the United States has a duty to support Ukraine? Show me our obligation. Where was it written? When? At any point in time? M. Comrade, I just said it. Do I honestly have to do this again? Oh my God. I feel like I have to do this every single freaking time this comes up. Apparently, none of you have read the Budapest Memorandum. I'm sorry for all of the true supporters on here that have had to see me go over the Budapest Memorandum numerous times. But I'm going to go ahead and do it for you guys. Because apparently, none of you guys that have actually brought this up have actually looked into this. So we're going to go ahead and knock that out. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to go to the English portion. Okay, stop it. Letter dated 7 December 1994 from the permanent representatives of the Russian Federation, Ukraine, the UK, Great Britain, Northern Ireland, the United States of America, the United Nations addressed to the Secretary General. Memorandum for the security assurances in connection with Ukraine's accession to the Treaty of the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. Remember, everything echoes back to the NPT. Everything echoes back to the NPT. All of these countries that are listed up top, and I'm not gonna read this out because it's the same statement at the beginning of every paragraph. They all agree, in accordance with the principles of the final act of the Conference of the Security of Cooperation in Europe, to respect the independence and sovereignty of the existing borders of Ukraine. All of these same countries reaffirm their obligation to refrain from the threat of use of force from the territorial integrity and political independence of Ukraine, and that none of their weapons will ever be used against Ukraine except in self-defense or otherwise in accordance with charters from the UN. Russian Federation, all of those other countries, in accordance with the principles of the final act of the Conference of the Security and Cooperation in Europe, to refrain from the economic coercion designed to subordinate to their own interest the exercise of Ukraine of the rights inherent in its sovereignty and thus secure advantages in kind. Again, nothing about defense of Ukraine so far. I hope you're watching this, all of you Budapest Memorandum morons that haven't decided to read these six paragraphs, and make me read it to you again. Russian Federation, blah, 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 reaffirm their commitment to seek immediate United Nations Security Council action to provide assistance to Ukraine as a non-nuclear state party to the Treaty of the NPT if Ukraine should become a victim of aggression or an object of a threat of aggression in which nuclear weapons are used. So only if nuclear weapons are used did we say we would seek immediate action from the UN Security Council. Fifth paragraph, all those other countries listed above, in the case of Ukraine, their commitment not to use nuclear weapons against any non-nuclear weapon state party to the Treaty of the NPT, except in the case of attack on themselves, their territories or dependent territories or armed forces or allies by such state or association. Okay, you ready for it? Here's the big one. Ukraine, the Russian Federation, the United States and Great Britain and Northern Ireland and the United States of America will consult in the event of a situation that raises a question concerning these commitments. That's it. We will consult. Have we not been consulting for the last couple years? I feel like we've been consulting, and I feel like we've actually done more than what the Budapest Memorandum says. And so for you to sit there and try to state, when it's in very clear, black and white, maybe I need to blow it up for you. You ready? Hopefully it's nice and big. The Budapest Memorandum does not state at all that we are going to fight for Ukraine, that we're going to defend their borders, that we're going to go kill Russians, that we're going to do anything. It says we're going to consult in the event that any of these concerns actually arise. Nothing to do with defending Ukraine. It doesn't even say that we'll provide them a single round of 762 for crying out loud. Not one round. So you can continue to bite the hand that feeds you and whine and complain like a three-year-old, or you can maybe go read the documents that you attempt to quote stating that we had an obligation to defend Ukraine. Maybe, just maybe, you ought to go read. Can I please get back to the show now and stop claiming that the Budapest Memorandum is some sort of freaking security guarantee when clearly it's not? It's not there. Jeez, man. It's so sad. It's like every freaking time. Have you ever, like, all you people that say that, like, do you guys ever fact check the people that give you their version of facts? like, and go to the original source? Do you ever? This is years later, man. Years later. And if you're in here complaining about it, I know that you've been saying that for years. Shame on you. Shame on you for not doing your own stupid research, coming into my chat, and then making me prove that you're a moron. Please don't do that. It's so ridiculous.
What guarantees do you need from President Trump to be able to make a deal? Is it American troops, intelligence, equipment? What is it?
Everything. And it includes two parts. First, strong Ukrainian army. That's what I began to discuss with your colleagues. And it's a lot about weapon and then people and training missions and intelligence. And second, we will discuss with our partners. It depends on the big countries, on the United States, on a lot of our friends.
So, security guarantees. He wants everything. He wants to make sure that the United States and everybody else are going to show up and put out in the event that Russia does exactly what they did, because he doesn't have it in the Budapest Memorandum. It's almost like the world leaders know what they're talking about, for crying out loud. And by the way, Trump didn't turn that idea away either, at all. Trump actually made it sound like we might actually be there. And when I say we, I mean the United States of America.
Your team has talked about security guarantees. Could that involve U.S. troops? Would you rule that out in the future?
We'll let you know that maybe later today. We're meeting with seven great leaders of great countries also, and we'll be talking about that. They'll all be involved, but there'll be a lot of help. When it comes to security, there's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe. But we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved. Yes.
I'm going to play that portion again in case nobody else heard it.
Our first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe. But we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
Yes. We're going to help them out also. We're going to be involved. Sky God says, is that Zelly in a suit? Yes, it is. Mr. Zelensky not only put on a suit, but he put on a new suit, and he called out the dang reporter for not wearing a new suit himself. Incog Faraday gifting out 50 for my trip to Israel next month. Greatly appreciate you, man. Scott Bevins gifting out a Speak the Truth membership. You guys are all amazing, man. I love you. Like, I love you guys. Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to be honest with you. This was probably the most disrespectful way to make a statement that I think I ever heard. I don't remember what channel Peter Ducci, I think his name is, works for. I don't remember which one. Dude, Gucci, I'm not reading over Minsk 1 and 2. It's not in there. I'm not derailing this whole program because nobody else wants to read. It's not in Minsk 1 or in Minsk 2.
How much more is the United States willing to give Ukraine? And President Zelensky, how much more do you want?
Well, I'll start off just by saying we're not giving anything now. We're selling weapons. This is something before, I guess the number is well over $300 billion. That was under Joe Biden, a corrupt politician.
How much more is the United States?
That wasn't the clip I thought it was off the top of my head. Ducci asked Zelensky, and I think I have it. I should have it. That's not the one that I wanted to play for you guys. Here we go. This is the one I wanted to play. And
As President Zelensky, are you prepared to keep sending Ukrainian troops to their deaths for another couple years, or are you going to agree to redraw the maps?
Thank you for your question. So, first of all, you know, we live under...
You know how pissed I would be if somebody asked me that question? Fox? Great. Are you going to continue to send Ukrainian troops to their death, or are you going to agree to redraw the maps? That's what that asshole actually just stated. Pardon my French. He actually just asked him that. He minimized everything to such a point of saying, are you going to agree to redraw maps, or are you going to keep sending your people to die? That is such a freaking disrespectful, shameful question to the man that's literally been making the decision to take care of his people. W, you don't know. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for gifting that. He legitimately just asked that. I want you to imagine how much restraint is sitting inside of Zelensky right now before we actually get into it.
Thank you for your question. So, first of all, you know, we live under each day attacks. You know that today have been a lot of attacks and a lot of wounded people, and the child was dead, small one, one year and a half. So we need to stop this war, to stop Russia, and we need support, American and European partners, and we will do our best for this. So, and I think we show that we are strong people, and we supported the idea of the United States, of personally of President Trump, to stop this war.
President,
hold on. I got to put his stupid face on the screen. There we go. This man should have his press pass revoked, in my opinion. It is one thing to like, it is one thing to point out to like Putin and ask him a question like, why did you invade this country, so on and so forth. But to literally ask Zelensky, the guy whose troops are defending their own borders, if he's going to continue to send them to death or just simply agree to redraw borders as if that's all it goes. That is such a horrible look for the American people. I don't care where you stand on this subject. That dude needs to have his press pass revoked. Gucci the pug. They don't have a clue about Ukraine history or maps. Zelensky is attacked on camera, always to make him look like the bad guy. You're right. You're absolutely correct. It happens every single time. Sky God gifting out 20 Speak the Truth memberships as well. Appreciate that donation, Gucci. Michael Schwartz. Are we selling weapons to Ukraine or giving them away? Neither. I mean, Ukraine can purchase weapons from the United States of America. However, the way that it's set up right now is for NATO to purchase the weapons from the United States and then give them to Ukraine. That's how it's currently set up, and nothing more will be given away. And as a matter of fact, I played a statement from Trump just a little bit ago. Where is it? Basically, that we're not giving them anything more. Yeah, here. Same question from douchebag.
It's willing to give Ukraine. And President Zelensky, how much more do you want?
Well, I'll start off just by saying we're not giving anything now. We're selling weapons. This is something before.
So there's your answer. We're not giving them anything. We are selling weapons, which is a very, very big difference. And it amazed me, like, I was on a panel of experts today over on Twitter, and there was people that are like, I'm tired of spending American money over there. All right, well, America's not spending any more money. We already, like, came to that conclusion. I'm going to play to you these two clips, each of them from a different angle. And this is when all of the leaders from all of the other European leaders, basically, I'm not going to list them all off, but when all of the European leaders ended up arriving. And I want to point something out to you guys, because some of you guys are a little bit conspiracy theorists on this, and I can appreciate that love. Watch this.
Hello, everybody. You're all right.
Now I understand. Thank
you.
No? Anybody else see that? I did. Anybody? Wait for it. What? Why did he point this out to Zelensky right here and Zelensky laughs? What do you think he's pointing out, ladies and gentlemen? Does anybody else know what he's pointing out in this? Anybody? Anybody? You want to see what he pointed out? Check this out. It actually got captured.
That was not a great day.
He pointed that out to Zelensky right before going in. He wasn't talking about him being short. He wasn't talking about any of that. Yeah, Zelensky's not a tall guy. Who here thinks, and I'm going to run a poll, real quick. Start a poll. I'm just going to put it down there, and I want you guys' answers. Go ahead and answer that poll, honestly. I just put it in the chat. I think what we just saw was a pretty big sign, in my opinion, which is why Zelensky giggled at it and why Trump felt the need to point it out, that it is quite possible that Russia attempted to assassinate Trump. Putin is short? Yeah. Yeah, Macron didn't even want to look at it. It's like Macron knows. It's funny, 60% of you say no. Hell no. I thought it was Iran. Yeah. Look at everybody in there. I think it was the Democrats personally. Okay. You guys can think that all you want. I personally think that there's a big reason that things ended up turning a hell of a lot differently when Trump ended up getting in the White House. Because you ended up getting a lot more intel once you end up getting to where you're at. You sign on to be the president, you can pretty much look at everything that there is to know. Right? Independent citizen, not so much. You can say that Iran might have been involved in it, sure. You can say that Iran maybe tried to orchestrate it. But right now we're split almost 50-50. Now we're 55-45, 45 saying yes, 55 saying no. I do think it's a very real possibility that Russia actually attempted to do this. And when I go back and I take a look at kind of like how Zelensky, like, look at his face. Look at him. He's smirking when he pointed that out. And you see Macron that's just like looking straightforward, like, I want no part in this. Yeah. The Democrats did it. I don't know, man. I honestly, I don't know. I think it was a mentally ill kid. And that's a very real possibility until you add up all of the other extenuating circumstances that actually took place in order for that kid to get put into that very particular position. I was going to say 5'6". Are you guys actually debating Zelensky's height right now? Is that what's happening? Definition of a photo op stage for sure. Yeah, I don't know about that. It's not RDS at all. Promise you that. That picture is literally hanging up in there, and I don't think they staged it. And I actually think it's hilarious that he put that picture up over inside of the White House. Yeah, and let's just hear this one out.
And by the way, Alex, I'd like you to say a couple of words, too. You're a young, powerful man. Before I finish up, I want you to say a couple of words. Go ahead.
I'll take the notion of youth back to my wife and try to convince her. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think in the past 2 weeks, we've probably had more progress in ending this war than we have in the past 3.5 years. And I think the fact that we're around this table today is very much symbolic in the sense that it's Team Europe and Team United States helping Ukraine.
And by the way, Alex.
Yeah, he literally just said that. That in the last 2 weeks, and these are like the extremely liberal, left-leaning, blah, 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 blah. Literally, that in the last 2 weeks, more was done than in the last 3 years. That within itself should tell you something. You know, I personally am not a fan of the way all of this is unrolling. And I'm just telling you that from my own personal bias, right? I'm not a fan of how it's all unrolling. But at the same time, there's some liberal, freaking left-leaning, like, Europeans up there, and they're giving Trump credit. That means something.
Emmanuel.
Thank you, Mr. President, for organizing this this meeting. And I would like to begin by clarifying a situation that happened not so long ago, where my wife, Brigitte, slapped me like a French little bitch inside the plane. As a couple, we have our problems. See, we started dating when she was 39 years old. I was only 13 at the time. I didn't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And when I met Jean-Michel, he was a sweet man. I mean, woman. I mean, Brigitte. When I met Brigitte, wait, fuck. Can we edit that last part? I just wanted to say she's strong-willed, and that's why she slapped me like a little bitch. Thank you.
I think that clip pretty much speaks for itself. Not going to lie there. Smokey Sergeant thinks the EU ended up doing it. That's not a real clip. I just have zero respect for Macron. And so I don't know. Like, zero, none, nada, zip, silch. like zero respect for him. So they sat around this table for about 2 hours. The NATO Secretary General actually did come out with a pretty good statement saying that Trump was able to break him out of deadlock. And he's talking specifically about Putin.
I really want to thank you, President of the United States, dear Donald, for the fact that you, as I said before, broke the deadlock. Basically, with President Putin by starting that dialogue. And I think it was in February that you had the first phone call. And from there, we are now where we are today. And that is, I think, if we play this well, we could end this. And we have to end this. We have to stop the killing. We have to stop the destruction of Ukraine's infrastructure. It is a terrible war. So I'm really excited. And let's make the best out of today and make sure that from today onwards, we get this thing to an end as soon as possible. I really want to thank you for your leadership, what you are doing for Volodymyr, but of course also all the European colleagues. It is really crucial. And the fact that you have said, I'm willing to participate in the security guarantees is a big step. It's really a breakthrough, and it makes all the difference. So also thank you for that. I really want to...
Okay, great. So... The good news is that not only are they giving him credit for doing more in the last 2 weeks than has been accomplished in the last 3 years, Zelensky stating that it's going to take security guarantees in order to get these people to come to the table, in order to get like any sort of deal done with Putin. He's also stating that in order for them to be able to move forward, when it goes to, you know, any land transfers whatsoever that might take place, that is a direct discussion that is going to take place between Zelensky and Putin. Basically, all of these people that are sitting around this table have zero voice in it whatsoever. So there's that. Give me 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. So that's that. So the good news is Putin willing to come to the table, and that those statements have been made. This one,
And I showed the president a lot of details on the battlefield, on the map. Thank you so much. Thank you for the map, by the way.
Good map.
It was great. Yeah. I'm thinking how to take it back.
We'll get you.
No. I think that we had constructive, specific.
If anything, as the man that is trying to negotiate this entire situation with Putin and other world leaders, you would think that he would have been asking Zelensky if the information he had was correct. That's what you would think. That's not what happened. Not even freaking remotely close. That part was kind of shocking to me a little bit. I don't even know how to state that otherwise. That, you know, on the panel that I had earlier today, I ended up stating that Trump's like biggest fault, and Trump actually started this whole thing off in the initial, press briefing with just him and Zelensky. He actually started off by saying like, hey, listen, I've ended 6 wars and all of that. And then he goes on to say that I thought this would have been the easiest one to end. Turns out it's not. And when you've got a guy that is being shown everything on the map that literally thought that this would be the easiest of the wars to solve, in my opinion, it kind of goes to show you that he was just a little bit under-equipped going into it, which is what I've been saying this entire time. And I'm saying that as a guy that voted for Trump. I don't hate Trump. I just think he sucks in this situation, or his advisors suck, or he's just not willing to listen to him. But he is moving the ball forward more than it has been in the last 3 years. And at this point, that's just kind of indisputable. Good news that ended up coming out that we ended up learning today is that more prisoner swaps were going to take place.
President, I think you'll see that President Putin really would like to do something else. I think when we set that up, when we do, I think it's going to be when, not if. I think you're going to see some very really positive moves. I know there's over 1,000 prisoners, and I know they're going to release them. Maybe they're going to release them very soon, like immediately, which I think is great. But we will, we're going to set that up today after this meeting. So very good and great remarks. I appreciate it, President. I think you'll...
So information ended up coming out like halfway through the meeting that... that they were trying to get Putin on the phone in order to, like, you know, start moving things forward. Now, the interesting part about all of this was, number one, the atmosphere, the environment, how everybody was talking throughout the whole thing. It seemed a heck of a lot more jovial than normally it is, and much more like a just confirmation slash dog and pony show, for lack of better terms, right? I feel like they were just kind of like putting on a show for everybody, and like everybody kind of knew how these things were going. And while they're saying that, you know, two things Trump ended up coming out with earlier, which was, one, he's tried stating that Ukraine is not getting Crimea back, but number two, that Ukraine also will not be allowed to join NATO. And with all of these different security guarantees that they end up throwing around, they're stating basically that there's going to be a NATO-like, you know, agreement that's going to end up getting drawn up with an Article 5 type declaration that goes within it. And for those that aren't familiar with NATO, an Article 5 of NATO basically says an attack on one is an attack on all. So if you attack one country, then everybody goes in. The only country to ever enact that, of course, the United States of America following 9/11. Well, number one, Ukraine's nowhere near capable of joining NATO at this point. It is an entire process. There's so much more that they have to do. They're just not there. So in order to kind of like circumvent that and meet also the Russian demand, which I think the United States wants to, or at least Trump and his admin would like to see the U.S. withdraw from NATO at this point, it almost seems like they're all kind of setting the stage to do that. And so it's possible that we have another NATO-like alliance that basically ends up taking place to go against Russia. Don C says, Matt, I don't usually participate in the chat, but always watch every show. Thanks for speaking the truth. You are real. Number one, Matt, thank you. Don, appreciate you, brother. I really, really do appreciate it. Michael Schwartz, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships as well, and just before him. Thank you guys very, very much. 9/11 times 1,000. You are correct. That is what we're worried about. That's basically what came out of it. Everybody was expecting something really big to come out of all of this. Those are the major highlights of everything that ended up taking place. I would love to tell you that there was some groundbreaking information that came out. Anybody that tells you anything that of that sort is just basically lying to you. What they said, in a nutshell, to wrap it all up, Trump said basically that, yes, the U.S. will be involved in some way in defending Ukraine, but not as a first line of defense. He's leaving that up to the EU, which leads people to believe that there is going to be an Article 5 type declaration and or group set up to defend Ukraine. Also, it looks like there might be some territorial concessions made on behalf of Ukraine in order to make this happen. My guess would be Crimea and probably the Donbas region, although probably not the part where the U.S. has a stake in their minds right now. Other than that, Zelensky ended up stating that that he and Putin are going to negotiate on this. Macron, of course, there was another statement I didn't even bother putting in there. Lots of like little clips and stuff that I pulled. Macron had basically stated that he wanted it not to just be Trump, Zelensky, and Putin, but that he also wanted to be present, and that kind of got like shrugged off. I don't think anybody takes Macron too seriously. That just is what it is, man. Shout out to Zodomir Oblast and the Heroic 95th Brigade. Oh, hell yeah, dude. And the Heroic 95th Brigade. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Ozzy, what's up, dude? 21 months. This is the longest relationship I've ever had. I don't think that's healthy, man. I'd hope that you got some family somewhere that might fit in that category. I don't know, man. I would hope some of your family somewhere fits in that category, but who knows, man? Sometimes, I mean, we've all got things, I guess, man. I don't know, dude. I don't know. Colby McCurdy, $10, says the Russian POWs get disappeared after they get back on Russian soil. Yeah, probably. Probably. That's more than likely going to happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got a situation, actually, that I just got notified of over here as I was going through all this, so I unfortunately have to step off for the evening. But want to get you guys all cut up to par on what the latest and greatest is. This is on there. I'm going to be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Speak the Truth. Thank you guys for joining me. Always, always, always a pleasure. Appreciate every single person that ended up donating tonight. Be on the lookout for next month, because I did get invited to go over to Israel, and I decided to take up on that offer, you guys. Big news coming up. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here. There is no security guarantees in the Budapest Memorandum.